We were looking at one of those weightier matters of the law, as Jesus called it, in Matthew 23, verse 23. He mentioned several of these weightier matters of the law in that verse, but there he was pronouncing woe on the leaders of the Jews during the time when Jesus was on the earth. And he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He said, "For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So we were looking at one of these, that is judgment, that being one of the weightier matters of the law. That's also one of those weightier matters that the Lord teaches us about, that has that He refers to as having a pathway to it. So lately we've been kind of looking at some of the good paths that our Lord has instructed us to walk in. There's several good paths that He teaches us about in Scripture. And anytime the Lord tells us, here's something that's very weighty to me, here's something that is a good path for you to walk down, that's certainly going to be something we want to pay a lot of attention to and study out and understand and definitely try to apply and make sure that we're following in our lives like He teaches us to. So that's where we started last Sunday evening, and at that time we were trying to identify some of the characteristics of God's judgment and some of the applications of that and characteristics of that judgment of God that go along with that good pathway that we need to walk upon, so that we have that quality in us that God has in Him, that judgment. And so we're going to pick up from where we left off a week ago. And as we do so, we're going to need to go back to that very important beginning point as far as identifying where righteous judgment does come from. As all good things come from God, so does good and righteous judgment. If we turn to Psalms 89 and verse 14, Psalms 89 verse 14. Here's something that God says about justice, which is righteousness, and judgment. He says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." And so there we see that judgment is one of those things that's identified as being part of the habitation of God's throne. That's something that is integral, or something that is absolutely part of God and who He is, and of His marvelous nature. And we need to identify that judgment, that good judgment that He's telling us about there, is that's in God, and we need to see and understand that and follow that, of course. And in Isaiah chapter 40, another book of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 and 14, he says this also about judgment. He says, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding?" Now those are what we call rhetorical questions. He doesn't give the answer here because He doesn't have to. It's phrased in the form of a question, but the answer is implied, and we know what the answer is. And when He's saying, who has done these things for God? Who's directed His Spirit? Who's taught God? Whom did God take counsel with? Or who taught God the path of judgment? What's the obvious answer to that? There's nobody. Nobody taught God anything. God did not receive it from anyone. He's the source of it. We learned that from Him. We need to be taught by Him about the path of judgment. So once again, we see that He's showing us that this is a part of God's nature. It comes from Him. But we need to listen to God and let Him teach us about His judgment. In a sense, this really goes along with what we were studying about this morning, about how man becomes vain in their imaginations, and men think that they really know how to judge things, or that they know how to decide things, which is really what the essence of judgment, what that word really means. And people make decisions or judgments and what they think is right and wrong, and what they think is the right thing to do. But are we the ones to decide for ourselves, and are we the ones to say what to determine what those things are? Or do we need to listen to God, the creator of all things, and let him teach us, according to his word, what is good and what is right? Well, obviously we need to listen to him. He's the one that will teach us the paths of his judgment. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we actually read this verse also this morning, Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, part of the Song of Moses. But Deuteronomy 32, 4 says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." So there in that song, the children of Israel were taught to sing these words about their God and who he is and about his nature. And one of those things it says there about him is that all of his ways are judgment. And so when we study God and study about him in Scripture, then we see his ways and how he exercises his good and righteous judgment, which is what we need to learn so we can follow the same thing. And we also see quoted some of these verses quoted in the New Testament in Romans chapter 11. So we see a lot about this in the Old and New Testaments, don't we? I mean, why do we study the Old Testament? In fact, this very book of Romans itself, if we went over to chapter 15 and look at verse 4, he says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So he wants us to learn those things of the Old Testament. Well, we just read about how all his ways are judgment. Where do we have the most volume of information about God and his ways, telling us about the things that he has done, about the way that he judges? And we're going to find so much of that in the Old Testament. I mean, the Old Testament, by sheer size, is a lot bigger than the New Testament, as we know. Now, we're under and only under the law of Christ today as far as our religious law. So we're not following the Old Testament law, and we're not going to try to follow that law and follow the law of Christ. But such a small portion of the Old Testament, those 39 books of the Old Testament, are actually the law. Most of the information that's given in the 39 books of the Old Testament in the Bible are telling us about God and what he has done and how he works with man and how God views things and what he says about things. And God and his nature have not changed. So that God who's all of his ways, of whom all of his ways are judgment, that we read about in the Old Testament, it's the same God that we read about in the New Testament, which is why so many scriptures in the Old Testament are also quoted in the New. We also know that most of the Ten Commandments are also repeated in the New Testament. The same book of Romans again. If we went to chapter 13, we're going to find most of the Ten Commandments that are repeated in the New Testament. But in Romans chapter 11, if we look at verses 33 through 36, we see some familiar words from what we were just reading a little while ago in Isaiah. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And so there we read more about the judgments of God and how deep they are. And they're not from man, and no man and no being taught it to God. We have to learn that from him, but it's very deep, and as he puts it there, he says they're unsearchable. So, of course, we can learn to a certain extent what God has revealed to us, and that's what we have to learn and have in us, but he is showing us how deep those and rich those parts of the nature of God are, including his judgments. And so we need to learn that from him. Back in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. Now here's a classic Old Testament book that is full of riches and about wisdom and knowledge and understanding and the good paths. And in fact, that's one of the texts that in chapter 2 that we've gone back to a number of times throughout the course of our study of these good paths that God has taught us, because he uses that phrase in Proverbs 2 and verse 9 about how we can understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And so much of that is taught in the book of Proverbs. But here's a classic book of the Old Testament that's not actually a book of law. I mean, this is not one of the the books that God inspired through Moses that contains the law of Moses. This was written and inspired well after that. But the things that he teaches about in this book are about God and his wisdom and his ways. And these things are timeless. And many of these verses and Proverbs are quoted in the New Testament also. But these are things we need to learn very well. And in chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs, he's teaching us about the paths of judgment. And he equates this or tells us this is part of God and part of God's wisdom, his judgment. Starting in verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 8, he says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Now we start here in verse 12 and read verse 13 because at the outset here we see it's God's wisdom who's speaking. And the foundation of what is to follow, spoken by the wisdom of God, it is founded upon the fear of the Lord, which is to hate evil. We have to hate what is evil and love what is good and right. God, of course, is the one that defines all of that. But if we're going to know the paths of judgment, we have to acknowledge this does come from God, and we have to pursue and seek after His wisdom, and we have to have that fear of the Lord. We have to have a hatred for what is evil and what is wrong, and a love for what is good and right. And so we continue reading here in Proverbs 8. Verse 14, he says, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment." So that's what God's wisdom does. But we see there in verse 20, he concludes with that, how God's wisdom leads in the way. There's the way or the pathway of righteousness. That was the last one that we studied before we studied the paths of judgment. He mentions both of those in this verse. The way of righteousness, the road of righteousness, and in the midst of the paths of judgment. So there are two of those good paths. But we learned that from God, from his wisdom. But again, it's founded upon the fear of the Lord and our hating evil and loving what is good. And for that reason, we would not expect to see those who are following wickedness to understand or to be walking in the paths of judgment. They're not. That does not go together. So we have to forsake wickedness in order to be able to find and walk the paths of God's judgment. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 59, verses 2 through 8. Isaiah 59, verses 2 through 8. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." This is what God told to his people Israel. These were his people that had forsaken him. So he told them that their iniquities had separated between them and their God. And he says, "And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." And by the way, that verse 8 is quoted in Romans, the third chapter, in verses 15 through 17. So once again, we see one of these scriptures on this particular subject that is brought over and also repeated in the New Testament. The characteristic of the wickedness of the wicked, that they do not know the paths of judgment. There is no judgment in their goings. That's characteristic of the wicked. And we would expect that. They obviously don't fear the Lord. They don't hate evil. And they don't love righteousness. And they're walking in after iniquity. And they're not going to understand judgment. In Psalm 10, verses 4 and 5. Psalms 10, 4 and 5. He says, "The wicked, through the proud of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them." So again, those who are not thinking about God, who are not considering his ways, well, what is his judgment to them? I mean, he says that God's judgments are far above and out of their sight. If our thoughts are not on God, if we're not thinking about our Creator and thinking about what his will is and what pleases him, what's good and right in his sight, so that we can find that out and please the God who created us and put us on this earth. If we're not of that mind, if we have God out of our thoughts, well, his judgments are going to be far above us. We're not going to have any thought about that or any idea about that, any understanding of it at all. Back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17 and verse 23. He says, "A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment." Now that's just showing one way in which the wicked are far removed from righteous judgment. But they will pervert what is right, and that they will pervert the ways of judgment. And there he's speaking about bribery in that practice. But how many people and how many different ways that are in positions of being able to exercise judgment and righteousness, instead of doing that, will corrupt that because they love wickedness. Well, having a desire for material things where you would receive something from somebody and then render a favorable judgment to them against what is right because you're going to get something from them. I mean, that's anybody that's willing to do that is somebody that does not have the fear of the Lord and is not trying to please God. Proverbs 21 and verse 15. He says, "It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity." So again, those who are working iniquity, do they have any pleasure, any desire to know what is good judgment and righteous judgment? But on the other side, if we're righteous, then it's going to be a joy to us to exercise, to walk in those paths of judgment, to understand them, and then to be able to practice it. That's what our portion is under the sun. If we had time to go to and study the book of Ecclesiastes right now, obviously we don't, but there's so many references in that book when God inspired through Solomon after he had gone off of the right paths and had walked in wickedness himself and participated in all the pleasures of this world. And he came back to God. He repented, but he understood what our life on this earth was to be about. Not the pursuit of pleasure. All those things are vanity, as he put it so many times in that book. But many times he spoke about our portion under the sun given to us by God is to eat and drink, again, for strength, so physically we'll have the strength to serve God. And he says, and to do good, enjoy the good in our labor. Well, that's what we get out of this life. It should be a pleasure to us to do what's good and right. Well, when you do something, when we know this is something that God approves of, that this is something that pleases God, and we know that we're doing that, doesn't that give you joy to know that? I mean, that's something that should give all of us pleasure to know. My Creator wants me to be doing this, and He's happy with me for doing that. I'm pleasing Him and glorifying Him with what I'm doing. That is a strong motivation for us to do what is right in this life. And that's far better than being motivated out of fear of the consequences of not doing right. Of course, if that's what it takes to get us through a temptation. If it's fear, well, that's better than falling to the temptation. But to be motivated by that joy of doing what's right in the sight of God, that's what we should all be striving for. And we should have great pleasure and joy in walking after the paths of judgment and practicing that. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 7. Isaiah 5 verse 7. It says, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, but behold, a cry." So God looked among his people to find them walking after the paths of judgment. And shouldn't they have been? I mean, he's looking among his own people of Israel. If God were to find people on this earth who were walking on the paths of judgment and seeking after and following God's judgment, those good paths, shouldn't it have been his people? Shouldn't he have been able to find righteousness and judgment? By the way, there's yet another verse where we see those two things together. How often do we see that? Righteousness and judgment going together. They really are paired well together, and there's a reason why we see them mentioned in the same verse over and over again in God's Word. But he was expecting or looking to see that among his people and should have been able to expect that, but he couldn't find it among his own people. And how sad that is, that was absent from among the people who were supposed to know the Lord. Well, let not that be the case with us. We should know the Lord. God should be able to look among us, and he should be able to find righteousness and judgment, his righteousness and judgment being loved and practiced by us. And so we want to do that and please our God. Let's turn to Amos chapter 5 and verse 15. Towards the end of the Old Testament, one of these books that are referred to as the Minor Prophets, because the length of those books, those 12 ones at the end of the Old Testament, are much smaller than Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel. But Amos, chapter 5, verse 15, says, "Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph." So he commands, hate the evil and love the good. Well, what is that? We saw that a while ago in Proverbs 13 and verse, or chapter 8 and verse 13, didn't we? Proverbs 13, or 8 verse 13, says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." And if we went to Psalm 34 and looked at verses 11 on down, we would see when he teaches us the fear of the Lord, again, it's to love what is good and right, to hate the evil and to put away the evil and to do the good. Well, here he says, hate the evil and love the good. That is the fear of the Lord. So he was commanding them to have that fear of the Lord, which, as we saw in Proverbs 8, that's what will lead us in the paths of judgment. And so he said, hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. So again, we see that as being the foundation of that. We need to understand God's judgment. And we do have the privilege of being able to understand his judgment if we do have the fear of the Lord, and we will go to his word to learn that. Let's look at Micah, another one of these books of the minor prophets, as they're called. It's a couple pages over from Amos. Micah, chapter 3, and verse 1. "And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment?" He asked that question, shouldn't you know it? Well, this is something to be known. We do have to find it out. We do have to learn that. We need to know and understand the judgment of God. Back to Proverbs 2. We mentioned this a few minutes ago, how we've looked at some of the verses in this chapter a few times before. But let's go back now and see this in the context of knowing judgment. "Is it not for you to know judgment?" he asked. Micah 3, verse 1. Well, we see the answer is yes, that was for them to know it. The sad part was that they didn't. But do we? It would be very sad if we don't. But we can and must know that, and here's where we go for the source. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou priest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So we have to meet those conditions. There are certain things, he says, we have to do right there in order to know, understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, he says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." So here again, he brings it down to that point of letting us know how we can know and understand the paths of judgment and where that comes from. But we also see that there are a number of conditions that we have to meet in order to know and understand judgment, God's judgment. We see the fear of the Lord in there again, don't we, in verse 5. And once again, that's not a coincidence that we find that there. But we have to seek it from God. We have to incline our ear to it. We have to hide His commandments with us. We have to apply our heart to understanding this. We need to cry to God for it and lift up our voice and ask Him for it. We need to seek it as for silver and as for hid treasures. And if we will do those things, He says, then we will understand the fear of the Lord, and we will find the knowledge of God, and we will understand the paths of judgment, He says. So, is it not for us to know judgment? Yes. How do we find it? By doing those things. And we need to do all of those things that He tells us to do right there in order to find and know that. Proverbs 28 and verse 5, if we will turn there, as we delve into those conditions a bit more. Proverbs 28 and verse 5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. So if we're going to understand judgment and know that, what do we have to do? Again, we have to seek the Lord. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8 says that if we seek, we'll find. That's part of those promises of God. And Jesus taught that in that parable, Sermon on the Mount. But He taught us if we'll seek, we'll find. Well, here He says, if we seek the Lord, we will understand all things. And He says that right after stating how evil men do not understand judgment. So understanding all things, of course, includes understanding God's judgment. But we have to seek Him to do that. Psalms 25 and verse 9. Here's another one. Psalms 25 and verse 9. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will teach His way. Well, what do we also know from Matthew 5? Another part of the Sermon on the Mount. The meek shall inherit the earth. Well, talking about the spiritual inheritance, not a physical, literal, earthly inheritance. But the meek are going to inherit. Here He says that with the meek, there is going to be that judgment. So if we are meek and lowly in heart like Jesus was, if we will humble ourselves before Him and seek Him and hide His commandments with us, like He was teaching us in Proverbs 2, that's part of the paths of judgment, the conditions that we have to meet in order to understand the judgment of God. Psalms 119, this same book here, Psalms 119 and verse 66, this psalm being the longest chapter in the Bible about the Word of God. In verse 66, He says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed Thy commandments." So we have to seek God, but where do we seek? Where do we seek God? I mean, do we go off somewhere to some location, somewhere in this earth? Is there some place that we have to travel to in order to seek God? That was actually a question that a Samaritan woman asked Jesus in John chapter 4, Jacob's well, and He said, our father said, she being a Samaritan, our father said, in this mountain, the mountain of Samaria is where you worship. He says, the Jews believe it's in Jerusalem. Which is the right location? What did Jesus answer? It's neither. God is searching. He's seeking for the true worshipers, those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, we need to seek God. Well, we seek Him where? Verse 66 here tells us we need to be taught good judgment and knowledge by God. We're going to learn that from His Word, by learning His commandments. So we don't go off to some location. We don't have to go anywhere. We have to pick up, when we're old-fashioned, we actually pick up the book in our hands like this. But nowadays, we have all those electronic devices, so you don't even have to open anything anymore. Just tap around on there. We can find it. It's in God's Word. So we don't have to go anywhere. We just have to take minimal effort as far as the actual finding the words there. Of course, the diligence is in studying to learn what all those words say and what they mean, and studying all that God has revealed there. That's a lifetime of work there. But that's what we need to be engaged in, so that we can understand God's ways and what is right in His sight, and to understand judgment. But when we have those commandments, we have to believe them, as He says there. And of course, that living faith will be demonstrated by our walking after those commandments. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. We're getting near the finish line here tonight, but Proverbs chapter 9, 6 through 10 says, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." There's another road, another pathway, the way of understanding. "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." That brings together a number of the things that we've already studied up to this point. Again, we see the fear of the Lord there. To hate evil and love the good. To seek from God. To hear His Word. But another aspect of that is when we study God's Word and we're seeking to know Him and His ways, what's going to happen? When we learn what is right in the sight of God, that's going to serve as a mirror to us. And we're going to get a lot of correction. We're going to get a lot of rebukes from that. As soon as we start reading God's Word, we're going to see, I'm not doing that like I should. There are things in my life that I need to make some changes in. Now, if we will humble ourselves and if we will receive the correction from His Word, well, then we'll understand. That's what He says there. A righteous man is going to understand more when he's corrected because he's going to receive that correction. If we're proud, what happens when a proud person, when somebody tells them that they're wrong about something? Then that's when the arguments start. Well, we don't want to get in an argument with God and His Word when He's teaching us, here's the right way to live. Here's the right way for you to live your life on this earth. We're not in a position where we dictate to God. And we're not in a position where we need to be arguing with Him about anything, of course. He's our Maker. That's where we started tonight. No, we don't teach Him. We're not the one to tell Him what's right. He tells us what's right. And when He tells us, we need to listen to that. We need to humble ourselves and receive that correction that He gives us. And when He shows us there's something in our life that isn't right in His sight, we need to receive that correction. We need to thank Him for that opportunity for us to make the changes we need to so we can be pleasing to Him in every way. And that's a big part of being able to understand, to receive correction. We see the same thing in chapter 15, Proverbs 15, 31 and 32. "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." Who gets understanding? He that hears reproof. A reproof is when you're told you're wrong. Well, what happens if we refuse that? Who are we hurting if we're not going to listen? If we say, no, I know what's right, and I'm going to do this. And we do something different than what God says, and we don't listen to the Lord. Who's the one that's going to suffer in the end? Who are we hurting? He says we are despising our own soul. I mean, we're the one that's going to pay for that. How foolish would that be? And that's why He said in Proverbs 9, where we read a minute ago, He said, "Forsake the way of the foolish and live." We need to forsake all that foolishness and not hurt our own selves by refusing to listen to our Lord and His correction. We need to humble ourselves and listen to Him so we can understand these paths of judgment and walk according to them. Proverbs 19 and verse 25, He says, "Smite a scorner and the simple will beware, and reprove one that has understanding and he will understand knowledge." So we can get more understanding. Here's somebody who already has understanding. Well, how do they get that? Well, they receive God's correction. They met those conditions for that. So do they understand judgment? Well, they're going to understand some of God's judgment. How do we understand more? Well, He says when we receive that instruction, we're going to understand more. But the scorner, the one that's not going to listen, they're not going to understand those things. So this does take humility. And it takes us, it requires us to seek God and to go to His Word to find those things out. You'll notice tonight, what was the point for me to stand up here and to tell you what I think about all this or what I think might be good judgment or what I think might make sense? That would be a waste of all of our time, wouldn't it? That's why we go to God's Word. That's why we look at all these scriptures here, because God is the one to teach us of all of these good paths. That's where we need to go to learn them. And so tonight is an opportunity for anyone that's here that is not yet a Christian to obey the gospel of Christ. Again, we have to learn that from His Word. The gospel, the New Testament, teaches us what we need to do to become a Christian. He says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we need to repent. He says, repent every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. We do have to change our mind about the way we're living our lives. If we're ready to humble ourselves under His mighty hand and listen to His words, we're ready to live for Him, we're going to listen to those commandments. And if we repent, He says, then we need to be immersed in water for the remission of our sins. If you are here, and if you are a Christian, but if you have gone astray from Him, if you need the prayers of the church and the encouragement of your brethren here, this is an opportunity for you also. So at this time, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone that needs to respond. Please do so right now while we stand and sing.